understanding. He didn't understand in the spiritual, maybe, that you have to study and pray and seek God. Okay, that that's part of the Christian journey. And Lo was all grown over with thorns, cares of life. Luke 8. Jesus talked about that in Luke 8. And that which fell among thorns were they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. Okay. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, okay, and nettles. If you look up nettles, the best definition I could find of that is useless prickly roots. And we're all rooted in something, spiritually speaking. We're like trees, and whatever we're rooted in is going to determine what fruit we produce, you know, and if we bear fruit or not. And if we're rooted in Christ, we'll bear the fruits of the Spirit. But if we're rooted in other things, we'll bear bitterness and strife and hatred and all kind of malice and all kind of things of the world. So a nettle is a useless prickly root. Now I've got a scripture on that. Hebrews 12, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Esau was a very carnal man, very natural carnal, and not, you know, what we'd say like spiritually minded. Then I saw...
Can you go back? What was that you just read? What scripture was that?
Hebrews 12:14, yeah. Then I saw and considered it well. This is Solomon now. He's looking at the field of this man, and the man laying there slothful. And I saw and considered it well and looked upon it. Oh, I missed the top. Sorry. Let me go back. Okay, so nettles, it had thorns, it had nettles, and the other thing he said was that the stone wall was broken down. He lacked revelation, you know, because revelation is represented in Scripture by stones, you know, rocks. And if we build our house upon, Jesus said, a rock of salvation, you know, you're a hearer and a doer of the word. And Jesus said, I liken you unto a rock. A man who builds house upon a rock. The floods come, the winds blow, and the house will stand. But if you're built upon sand, the floods come, the floods of life, the tribulations and trials come, and they'll, you know, your house will fall, or the wind will come, the wind of doctrine, and you'll be gone, you'll be following false doctrine or whatever, and blown away with every idea. So his stone wall was broken down. Okay, he lacked revelation. Then I saw him, considered it well, looked upon it, and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little fold of the hands of sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. You know, if you're traveling here and there, you're eventually going to be broke. You're not really staying anywhere in a job, making a living, and that kind of thing. You're just traveling from place to place. Sooner or later, you'll run out of money. And same thing with the armed man. Best I could come up with of what that's talking about is like somebody who's fortified behind something man-made instead of behind the Word of God. An armed man, you know, ready for battle, but not behind the shield of faith and behind all the armor of God. All right. Okay, God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Now, if we don't just get what we ask for spontaneously, well, then there's nothing to it. We walk back. That shows we're not seed of Abraham. Abraham waited 25 years and was stronger at the end of the 25 years, believing he was going to receive, than he did the day God told him about it. But we can't wait from one day to another. Oh well, God, you prove it to me. Oh my, what a weakling we are. You say, well, God promised Abraham, he promised you too. You're the seed of Abraham. If you're in Christ, you're the seed of Abraham. Every promise was to Abraham is unto you. Amen. If it, not because you did this, because you joined church, because God by foreknowledge elected you and called you to Jesus, and you accepted it. In the blessing of God. That word must grow. In order to grow, it's got to be in the right kind of ground. God makes a promise, and it hits that heart, it cannot fail. Noah waited 120 years. Abraham waited 25 years on the child. God said so, and that settled it. What is it? The word was there, being watered by faith, believing it brought forth the results. It brought forth the sun, it brought forth the rain, it brought forth the flood, it brought forth the virgin that was conceived. There's only one way provided by God for anything. If the blood hasn't taken effect, and you see it in your life as a consecrated child of God, what Jesus said will take place. And be careful. You might have something else beside the blood. You might have a little injection of theology in there or something, a little injection of sensation. You say, well, I quivered, I shook, I danced, I did this. Be careful. If the medicine ever strikes you, it's good for every human being. It'll save from sin. It'll clean up from a life of sin. It'll make a different person of you. It'll take the doubt away. It'll make you a new creation in Christ. Brother Aaron, you got your guitar? I'm just kidding. I'll just read the song. I am resolved no longer to linger. Charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I'm resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I'm resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I'm resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still I will enter in. I'm resolved, and who will go with me? Come friends without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Do you mind having questions? That's all, folks. Okay, dokie. Let's all remember BB's family, that's Matt's wife. Her grandmother passed away. When was it?
Well, they're having a funeral today. I think she passed Friday.
Oh, okay. So let's all pray for them. I've got some family traveling. We got a lot of people here that are traveling. So
lots of
people. Yes, remember everybody traveling. Yeah. And Brother Wade's preaching in Kentucky today, this morning. All right. So let's pray for that. But Heavenly Father, we thank You for us to get together today in Your name, and we pray You bless the services here and bless Brother Wade ministering up there in Kentucky and all the others traveling. Lord, be with them, be with my sister and her family traveling, and also all those mourning for the loss of BB's grandmother. And just be with them, give them comfort and peace in their hearts, I pray. And bless the services here, Lord. Bless Brother Dale and what his lips will speak and our ears to hear. Help all of us in the Sunday school classes, Lord. Give us understanding of Your word.
Yes, sir.
We love You and thank You for all Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read from, I'm going to try to put the scripture up here. I'm not really that tech savvy, but I found a little, got a little Bible app that I can use. Can y'all see that in the back? Pretty good?
That's okay.
That's okay. You go ahead.
Because I can't make it any bigger. I tried. I don't know how to make it bigger. But I'm going to read Psalm 25 if y'all want to open your Bibles and follow along. I'm just going to read it. It's not a responsive reading. I'll just read it. It kind of goes along with my lesson. A Psalm of David. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Shew me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation.
Amen.
On Thee do I wait all the day. And that's pertaining to my lesson. All these parts here about talking about waiting on the Lord. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to Thy mercy. Remember Thou me for Thy goodness sake, O Lord. Let's see. Oops. Go get it in a minute.
You're all right.
Is that it? Yeah. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What is man that Thou that feareth that he? What is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Try again. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Here, did it say
here?
Out of all his troubles? That's different
in it.
Not the Bible usually refer to Israel as her. No, maybe we
did. Redeem Israel, God, out of all his troubles.
His troubles. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I never noticed that.
So today I'm going to talk about patience and specifically about waiting on the Lord. Us having patience, waiting on God. And my objectives are basically two things: to recognize the importance of waiting on God and to understand that he is always faithful if we wait on him. In other words, I'm saying he'll bring his word to pass. We don't have to worry about his part. Our part is to wait on him.
Amen.
So I'm going to hang out here for a little while because these words, a lot of words in this definition are very meaningful to me. So I'm going to talk about these things for a little while. This is Strong's definition of patience: steadfastness, constancy, which is like being constant, endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety, even by even the greatest trials and sufferings, patiently and steadfastly. A patient, steadfast, waiting for. A patient, enduring, sustaining. And Brother Brown talked about that, perseverance. That's a big one. Okay, so so basically, I'm going to talk mostly, I guess I'll start off with deliberate. So deliberate means like being intentional. And Dave Ramsey, most of y'all are familiar with Dave Ramsey. He talks about if you fail to plan, your plan will fail. So if you don't have a plan in life, if you don't have a goal and objective that you're striving for, you won't make it because you don't really have a plan. You're just kind of a floater. You're floating along. You're double-minded, I think the scripture calls that. You can't make up your mind. Your purpose is set on this for a while. Then you get off of that and go on another way. I think another word for that I talked about a while back is fickle. You know, you're just kind of, you can't make up your mind. And you're constantly changing your purpose. Like people I work with, I told y'all about a few lessons ago, that are always changing spouses and houses and cars and jobs. Never keep anything for more than a couple of years, and they're ready for something new. But that's not the way to make it anywhere with God. You have to set yourself on the Lord, set your mind on God, and just stay focused and keep driving straight, keep going forward, and never stop. Never stop seeking God. And that's being deliberate, that's being intentional, that's being resolved. Brother Aaron sings that song, I've got it here in the end of the lesson if we get to it. I am resolved no longer to waver and no longer to linger, I think he says something like that. I'm resolved. I like to have a resolve in life. And there's been several times in my experience of life where I've had a resolve, whether it be in something natural or something spiritual, that I was doing one thing and then I completely changed directions and never went back. Whether it be that one thing was something that I was doing wrong or whatever it be, if you come to a resolve, you're completely set. You're on a new path and you're not going back, period. So we have to be resolved to serve the Lord. When I gave my heart to the Lord at 12 years old, I was resolved to go through with God. I never backed down. I never wanted to turn around. I never wanted to go back. I was resolved. I didn't know about the message. I just knew repentance. I just knew what the Baptists call getting saved. But I wasn't going back. I wasn't playing around. I was very sincere with God. So you're not swerved from your deliberate purpose. Another thing I had an experience in my life, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 12. Well, when I was 14, I started wanting to know more about God, so I started reading the Bible a little bit. I just sort of dabbled in it, but not every single day. And when I was 15, I realized, because I came to a resolve, I realized that if you don't make time to read the Bible every day, it won't happen.
Right.
So At age 15, I was resolved, and that's been 19 years ago. I've never gone a day without my Bible reading because I was resolved at 15. I would never turn back. And so that's a resolve. It's a change of purpose, change in your goal, and you're set firmly. You're not going back. And then there's been other things in my life I won't mention, but in the message, Persevering, Brother Ben talks about in the natural realm, there's people, anyone who's ever accomplished anything had to have perseverance. You know, they had to persevere, they had to be resolved, they had to be deliberate and intentional. Entrepreneurs that basically built this country and made it what it is, all of them had that one thing in common, they're persevering. Like Henry Ford, all the other different names of, I haven't looked into it lately, but all the different big names that basically built the country and made it like it is, all the big businesses, all of them had that one thing in common. They all went for a while and fell off to one side or another, but they were so resolved and so deliberate and intentional that they got up and they kept going. I think Henry Ford, if I recall, there was, I think I heard that there was already a car built. He didn't build the first car. There was already a car, and he had to go to see the people who had made that car because they had the patent to get permission, I think. He had to build, in order to build a car, you know, over there? I think he had to go get permission from them, and they deterred him. They said no. They turned him down. They said, no, you can't do it. Somehow he kept going and going and pushing and pressing until he finally got through. And what he did different than what they did was he built a car that everybody could afford. Because before that, not everybody could afford a car. Just the rich and you know, well off could afford a car. Well, then he made a car that everybody could afford. But he wouldn't stop until he achieved his goal. You know, that's my point. And that's what Brother Ben talked about. Everybody who achieves anything in life has to be persevering. And you have to have a lot of patience to be persevering. Patience and perseverance go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other. You have to be patient to be perseverant. You have to be perseverant to be patient, you know. So why do we need patience? And what do we have to wait for? Well, I just listed a few things that are most important that we could talk about salvation. We need patience to wait on God for our salvation. We need patience to wait on God for our healing, for revelation, for other promises of God. Everything of God, all the great things in life that we can attain to, we have to have patience and wait on those things because it doesn't come instantaneously. I was diagnosed in 2012 or 13, I think it was 2013, with basically ulcers in my colon, ulcerative colitis. And I lost blood every day for altogether 5 years. But during all that time, I think I went to the altar one time for prayer, and after that I just confessed my healing. And I kept saying, I'm healed. Well, every time the symptoms showed up, I didn't feel very healed. But I kept saying, no, Satan, back down, I'm healed. And I kept confessing. I thought of Brother Branham with that stomach ailment that he had, that every time he'd eat something, he'd come back up. And that's pretty much taking you to death. If you can't keep your food down, you're not far from dying because you can't take in nutrients. So he kept on confessing his healing, and somebody would meet him on the street and say, how you doing, Brother Branham? Say, doing well, praise the Lord. And he'd be trying to swallow back down the food that kept trying to come back up, and finally he was healed. He received the manifestation of his healing. But he kept confessing his healing. And that took patience. And me waiting 5 years for my healing to be manifested, and I'm completely well today, by the way, I forgot to mention that. As of 2018, I had no more symptoms. I'm completely free ever since then. Not a single other problem with that. But I waited for a long, long time for that. And it was hard because here's the devil hanging over my head. By the way, this is hereditary. He kept telling me, you know, your grandfather died, not of it, but he died with it. I would hear him in agonizing pain in the bathroom, just screaming because of the cramps and the problems it caused him. And my sister, she was diagnosed with Crohn's. I think that's something similar. I don't really know exactly what it is, some kind of ulcerative thing. When she was 12, and she's 36 now, and still struggling with Crohn's. She's had it for, 20 years or more. So the devil kept hanging that over my head, and I said, you know what, Satan, I don't care if it runs in my family. It's not mine. I don't accept it. And you just keep on confessing it.
It might run in the family, you run it out of the family.
Right, yeah.
He can change your genetics.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, nothing God can't do. So when the devil hangs that over your head, just if you got an ailment, just say, you know what, I don't care. It's not mine, Satan. You just stand right there, symptoms or no symptoms. It's just like temptation. when you're dealing with salvation. Just because you're saved, you're still going to have temptations. You just keep confessing you're saved. And don't stop. All those things, though, require patience. Waiting is very contrary to human nature. We want to gain things in life quickly without difficulty. And that's just in the natural life. Unfortunately, the same is true for Christians. We want to profess to be mature Christians, but without any growing pains, trials, or sufferings. So basically, we want to say we're up here in the headstone just because we came in the message. Well, I mean, it's all right to make the confession, but don't stop seeking God all the way. Just keep pressing through and seeking God. Consider the characters in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I guess most of you all read Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It's a really good book. Read it slow and prayerful and careful. It's very scriptural, okay? Very, very based in the Bible. And it has to do with our natural journey, or spiritual journey, as a Christian. There's a lot of little, all the characters that's introduced have a name pertaining to what they represent. And basically, you just have to read the book. That's all I can say. Many characters in the book, they bypass the wicket gate, which was the entrance into the salvation journey that Pilgrim was on, that Christian was on. And they came in their own way to salvation, only to fall away later on. So the point is, we have to persevere, we have to come the right way, God's provided way, and have patience and wait on God. James 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect," and I put in there, "complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So you're a mature Christian. You're not lacking anything. That's what wanting nothing means. You're not lacking anything to perfection, to completion as a Christian. Let me see here. I'm going to pull that up, James 1. That's a really good one to read. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's what I'm talking about. Persevere. Don't waver. Don't go from side to side. Just keep a steady, straight purpose. Keep moving on. And keep believing. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I think I looked that up the other day. That's something to do with, like, you know, you're not set on any certain purpose. You know, you're just thinking one way for a while, then you start going another way. You're double-minded. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We've heard this talk here, Bill taught this several years ago, the four stages of death. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So it's lust, conception, and then sin. And then when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Just like Eve, she lusted after the idea that the serpent presented to her. Then she conceived it, which means she accepted it in the womb of her mind first. And then it brought sin, of course, the natural act, but also unbelief, you know, against the word of God. And then that led to natural death and also spiritually being separated, you know, from God, because sin drives us away from God. It doesn't bring us to Him. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive them with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, amen, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay. Oh, there it goes. I'm sorry that's really small. I hope y'all can see a little bit. An exposition of the seven church ages. Brother Branham said, I know your faith. Now, he does not say here, as he did to the church in Pergamos, you hold my faith. He is not talking about his faith now, but he has commended them for their faithfulness. But as he does, he also mentions their patience. Now, faithfulness and patience go together. In fact, patience is the outcome of faithfulness. For it says in James 1, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's absolutely no other way in which to gain patience. It has to come by the trial of our faith. Romans 5, tribulation worketh patience. How highly God regards this outworking of our patience is seen in James 1, 4. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God's will for us is perfection. And that perfection is patience. Waiting on God and waiting for God, this is the process of character development. How highly God has commended these saints of the dark ages. Patient as lambs led to the slaughter, lovingly, faithfully, they served God. That's all they wanted out of life. Just service to their Lord. How great was to be their reward. One reason we don't wait for God is because of our unbelief. We really don't believe He can or will do what we ask. So we try to bring things to pass our own way.
Right.
We ought to trust God in all things we ask for, knowing that He is faithful and will absolutely bring His word to pass. That's what I was saying earlier. Part of my objective is to help you all see that God is always faithful. And He'll do what He said. Right. No matter how long we have to wait, He'll do what He said.
Yeah.
Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Ephesians 3, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Okay, from the stature of man. Now, Brother Branham's talking about the scene in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. No, we ain't got it yet. Because he said, there will come what would take place in the last days. With stammering lips, other tongues will I speak to this people. And this is the rest that I said. Isaiah 28. So this is it. You'll get it when, we'll know when it comes. We'll know when it comes. We'll know it. Promise of the Father. There he waited 9 days. So they were patient and waiting in the upper room. Mm-hmm. When the temptation was there for them to go on out saying, we have it now, let's just go on, they had to sit there and wait patiently for God. That's a long time, you know, mm-hmm, to sit there and wait for days. And then on the 10th day, we were there, and they had patience to wait. Now, if you got that kind of patience, after God gives you a promise, you see it in the Bible, it's mine, then wait. then if you got that kind of patience, add it to your faith. And see how high you're getting now? You're getting way up here now. Alright, it froze up. Hang on 1 second. Okay, well, can y'all see that?
Yeah.
I may have to do it from here. I don't know why it's doing that. Isaiah 40, 31. I'm going to skip to the next one there. Hold on. Okay, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, which means to change for better, and the strongs, renew means to change for better, their strength, the power of God. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Still not working. Hebrews 10. 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive. Why'd I do that?
It's loading.
Hold on. This is actually working off my cell phone, so maybe I don't have signal. Good. Or something. I said that there.
Patience.
It ain't nothing
but the devil.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, have patience. Patience. I'm telling you. Now, let's try it now. There we go.
Alright,
for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to, or unto, or towards the saving of the soul, which is two means like a journey. You know, we're continuing on a journey. We're not drawn back. We're not deterred from our purpose. We're going through. The testimony of a true witness. We need a waiting on God till the Holy Ghost comes with the power of deliverance. We need salvationists, not evangelists. We need salvation. We can take this mountain. Who is that mountain before us? Or it will be like a plain. God said, remain in the land. You know, Brother Dale's been preaching a lot about salvation. We've heard a lot of people here lately talking about just plain old simple salvation. We need that.
Amen.
We need just the plain old simple gospel and let God move us up into the revelation of it. The spoken word's the original seed. That's what Christ has found. Couldn't wait. That's what's the matter with people today. They can't wait for the real Holy Spirit to take the church in position. We've got to manufacture something, work up something. Initial evidence, speaking in tongues, to get more members in the church, all these kind of tommy rot. Instead of waiting upon the Lord for the real manifestation of the resurrection of Christ, making himself known among the people. Hear his voice. Brother Branham said, we don't have time to hear the voice of the Lord. And those who do claim to be Christians just kneel down of a little prayer like this, some kind of homemade, Lord bless me and my family and take care of us. Good night. And the next morning rise up and say, just guide us through the day. Good day. We should wait on the Lord. You see, we do all the talking. We don't give Him a chance to talk back to us.
Good.
That if we would pray, and pray until our soul comes to the presence of God, and then just relax and listen to His voice. But there's so many voices today that takes the voice of the Lord away from us. The hour has come. Brother Brandon said, well, that's where we miss the blessings. We're afraid to wait on God just a bit. See, you've heard that, only wait. Again, I hear that whisper, only wait. It won't be very long. Even now the Father's hand is pleading. Soon with Jesus we will sing the victory song. That's right. Just wait on God. Believe it, confess it, stay with it, and God will bring it to pass for you. Now, here's one point I want to interject because I don't want to be misunderstood. When you say wait or rest, it seems like maybe a lot of people might think that means doing nothing. And I'm not saying don't do anything. You can be seeking God while you're waiting on God to move you up in revelation. and or for healing or whatever, you know, just keep believing. But patiently wait, but never stop seeking God. Proverbs 24. This is Solomon. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. This is the best picture I could find on the internet to represent what Solomon looked at. So here's a slothful man laying down asleep. He's got a field behind him. All right, now that field has potential to grow a crop. He could sow corn, he could sow wheat, and if he would cultivate it and work it and make sure it's watered and protect it, you know, surround it with a, build a hedge around it, stone wall to protect it from critters and from winds and from whatever else may come upon it, he would have a good crop. Now that represents the womb of our mind. We have a womb of our mind that we sow the Word of God in the womb of our mind. We sow down the Word and let God come and quicken it. But we have to keep cultivating. We have to keep studying it, and studying the Word of God and praying and seeking God and not being slothful. His idea was just sow the seeds and then lay down and sleep and see what happens. That's not intentional. That's not deliberate. That's not patient. That's not anything really that we should be as Christians. So being patient does not mean doing nothing. So I'm going to break down that verse again that I just read. Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. He did not understand the simple law of sowing and reaping. He didn't understand you have to cultivate the field. He didn't understand you have to work the field, pull the tares out, you know, and maybe spray it with whatever to keep the bugs off of it or whatever, you know. He did not understand the simple law of that.